Heavenly Father, we thank you that we get to celebrate that momentous day where Jesus rose from the dead, where the tomb was empty today. We pray that as we consider the implications of the empty tomb, that you would help us to see what it means and what it means for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we heard in that from Lisa that Bible, and from the Bible reading, the Bible's account of that first Easter Sunday. Mary and those two disciples, slow and speedy, arrive at the tomb, but it's empty. That big stone rolled away. Now the disciples can see the body is missing, but do they get the significance of that? Does Mary get the significance of it? What is the significance of the empty tomb? What do we think about the significance of the empty tomb as we celebrate it on Easter Sunday? Why do we take this moment every year to remember that historical moment? See, I would go as far as to say is that moment changes all of human history. So what's it about? Well, we get these chocolate eggs, don't we? Dave reminded us, as you bite into them, they simulate the empty tomb. I'm sure that's the reason that people invented them, to have these hollow chocolate eggs. But the eggs have this kind of idea, they have this connection with the idea of new birth, don't they? New beginnings. In the Northern Hemisphere, Easter falls around spring, so there's that sense of new life and new birth as things are thawing out and leaves and little shoots are appearing. And so this is a time to remember that is the empty tomb about remembering that we have a time to start afresh, kind of like New Year's. Is that what it's about? Or is it about victory? Jesus, the teacher who's beloved by the masses, he's the one who gets beaten and executed by the nasty political system. And so, with the empty tomb, we see the underdog winning in the end. He comes back to show the evil hierarchy that they won't get the victory. Is the empty tomb about overcoming? Is it kind of like a moral about overcoming obstacles? Or maybe it just turns what is a sad story into a happy one, to a nice one. Jesus' body not there because he's beaten death, he's risen. Which is a nice, happy epilogue to Jesus' story, isn't it? Is that how we view the tomb? It's kind of this nice, happy conclusion to Jesus' biography. What do you think the empty tomb means? The moment is not just some nice story. It's not about a good moral victory. It's not a good moral about victory. This is a real moment in history. And this moment changes the direction of human history. As Tom Holland puts it, not the Spider-Man, sadly, but this historian, who's not a Christian, he talks about Christianity and the Christianity which follows this moment from the empty tomb. And he says this: it is the most disruptive, the most influential, and the most enduring revolution in history. The empty tomb has history-shattering implications. So let's think a little bit about what this empty tomb means. And we'll consider three things. Firstly, that Jesus is really risen, that Jesus is the King, and that Jesus is the way to the Father. Three implications of the empty tomb. So the first thing that the empty tomb shows is that Jesus is really risen. If the resurrection happened, that is, if Jesus died and then 3 days later he rose again from the dead, then this changes everything. But it's hard to believe it as real history, isn't it? Sort of, it's a nice story, but to think about it as history, people don't just come back from the dead unless there's a defibrillator around. But the account we get gives us legitimate reason to see the empty tomb as real history, as fact. In the account, Mary's the one who turns up and sees the tomb is empty. And this shows us that the story's not just made up. If Jesus' resurrection was just a story made up to get people following along, in that time you wouldn't let the prime witness be a woman. This is because at that time women weren't trusted as legitimate sources. Their testimony wasn't admissible in court. Now, while of course our society's moved on from this, the point still remains that if this account was fabricated, Mary wouldn't be the one that they would include in the story. They kind of edit her out and highlight others. In our day and age, it'd be like the drug addict discovering the tomb on that Sunday morning. If you were creating a story, you wanted to put people in it to make it a trustworthy story, you'd maybe leave that person out, wouldn't you? And so then the empty tomb would be discovered by, like, you know, the doctor, the solicitor, an army captain, and of course a justice of the peace, just to make sure we could trust it. And there is other evidence that this isn't just some made-up story. And one of them is the fact that none of the disciples ever recant their belief that Jesus rose from the dead. And remember, these guys were tortured and executed for that belief. It's this that got a guy called Chuck Colson to believe in the resurrection. Chuck was a key member of the White House during the presidency of Richard Nixon. And he was one of the key figures involved and put in jail for the Watergate scandal, where the government illegally bugged and wiretapped their opposition to help them remain in power. Chuck became a Christian while he was facing arrest and wrote this about the resurrection. "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would have not endured that if it wasn't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible." Now, this is one of the key evidences that I keep coming back to when I am tempted to think it's all some elaborate fabrication. Everyone who saw the risen Jesus died defending that truth. This is not a made-up story. This is history. Another piece of evidence about this, you know, the empty tomb being fact, is the detail about the linen. It's a bit weird that in this account of this incredible thing that's happened, we get this detail about linen folded nicely. But I think this is to show that Jesus' body wasn't taken as some part of some grave robbery. At the time, people would steal things from graves of the dead. And I think this is what Mary and the disciples expected had happened. She says, "Someone's taken the Lord. Someone's ransacked the tomb and they've taken his body." But if the tomb was disturbed by robbers, then why do they take the decaying body and leave the expensive linen? The empty tomb is not empty because Jesus' body has been taken by robbers. So what are we left with? Well, it's what the speedy disciple concludes. Verse 8. He saw and believed. What did he believe? That Jesus had risen from the dead. Like Jesus told them he would. Like all the evidence is pointing to. The only explanation is that of the empty tomb is that Jesus is risen. He's no longer dead. This is historical fact, and this historical moment is the moment that changes everything. Why? Because it means that Jesus has defeated death. Not temporarily pushed it back like our medical system does, but defeated it. Death is dead and buried. We often think of the resurrection kind of like resuscitation. But Jesus is dead. He was really dead and he is alive in a different way. His resurrection is a complete reordering of reality so that death will never come to him again. This is the eternal life that Jesus offers. Jesus tells us that he is the resurrection and the life. This is not just a comment about good quality of life, but everlasting life, a life that will never ever need to cower under the shadow of death again. No more sickness, no suffering, no degenerating with time, no fear when we reach the end, no grief. The empty tomb means that Jesus is really risen, and so death is completely defeated. Different to other religions, Christianity is built on a historical moment, this historical moment. If Jesus is risen, then he has beaten death and offers life in him. If he is risen, he is the one to follow. And the evidence shows us that he is truly risen. This is historical fact, not just a nice story. Second, the empty tomb means that Jesus is who he says he is. That is, Jesus is God's king. This is what that sentence in verse 9 means. They didn't yet understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Seems a bit weird that the disciple believes, but then he didn't understand. How can he believe if he doesn't understand? Well, I think it's kind of saying two things. The Bible believes that Jesus rose from the dead, but he and the others haven't yet understood what the Old Testament scriptures have to do with it. You see, the empty tomb has an explanation in the Old Testament. Later on, the disciples will get it. And later on, Peter, slow old Peter, he's telling people about Jesus, telling these crowds. And it's recorded for us, this speech he gives in the book of Acts. And Peter's there explaining why Jesus needed to rise from the dead as a fulfillment of what was said in the Old Testament. And he explains that because Jesus rose from the dead, it confirms that he is God's long-awaited chosen king. He is the Messiah. The king who will, according to that most famous of kings, King David, that king will rule over all other rulers. That's what we heard about in that reading we had from Psalm 2. Jesus is the son in that poem. The one who God will put on a throne above all others, who will inherit rule over the entire world. And all of this is confirmed as Jesus rises from the dead. He is God's risen king. And this is how the resurrection is kind of like that underdog who comes back to defeat everyone else. I thought some illustrations might help. John Wick, obviously most people here I'm sure have seen John Wick, including the kids. Hopefully not. But John Wick, right? He's that nobody who comes back and defeats all the mobsters, that kind of thing. Or a more kid-friendly illustration, if you like. Like that end scene in the Super Mario movie. Seems like Bowser's going to win. Mario and Luigi all beaten up. They're in Brooklyn. It seems they're all going to be destroyed by Bowser. But they find that star, don't they? And they kind of become invincible. They have that crazy rainbow shimmer, and they very, very easily defeat Bowser, turn him into little itty-bitty Bowser. Jesus, in rising from the dead, is now the king with the power of that star, invincible, all-powerful. He will defeat his enemies easily. He is put on God's throne to rule over all. And so that means that Jesus is the king over all of us, over everybody who's ever lived. And so all should obey and submit to God's king, the risen Jesus. As Psalm 2 puts it, "Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear." The empty tomb shows us that the risen Jesus is God's promised king. He's the one to obey and submit to. He is the one to follow. But while that might sound burdensome, following this Jesus as king, it's actually a great thing to follow the risen Jesus. And that's because of the third thing that the empty tomb teaches us. Thirdly and finally, the empty tomb means that we can come to God as Father. And we see that in that interaction that Mary has with the risen Jesus at the end of our passage. Jesus tells her that he needs to ascend to God the Father, who is now her God and Father. Verse 17. "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary doesn't need to cling to Jesus to keep him. He's not going anywhere. He's here to stay. But he does also need to return to his Father, and that's in her interest. He goes to prepare rooms in his Father's house for people like Mary to stay in. He goes to prepare rooms in God's house for all those adopted into God's family through him. Jesus had explained that earlier to his disciples, that he said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus cares for his people, and he calls them to join him. And in doing so, they can come to know God as Father. This is a big thing, knowing God as Father. Having a close and personal and loving relationship with the all-powerful creator of the universe. Now, I don't know what your relationship is like with your dad, but however good or bad it is, knowing God as Father is different, because God as Father is the Father that all fathers aspire to, and yet all human fathers fail to reach. He is the Father who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness. He is the one who loves his children as high as the heavens are above the earth, to the moon and back. And his love is not conditional on how well we do, but he actually loves us first. And we see that because he sends his son to die for us while we're still sinners. 1 John 4, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The empty tomb means that Jesus has gone to God the Father so that we can come to God and call him Father too. And John tells us that this wonderful relationship comes by doing what the disciples did, believing in Jesus. So this Easter, as we consider the meaning of the empty tomb, let's do what the disciples have called us to do, sorry, what John calls us to do, and that is believe in Jesus. The empty tomb means Jesus is risen, that death is defeated, and Jesus is God's risen King. It also means that all who believe in Jesus can come to God, their Creator, and know him with the intimacy and care of a child with the best father. So this Easter, apart from eating too much chocolate, how will you respond to the historical fact of the empty tomb? John tells us to believe Jesus is who he says he is, to see him as the risen King, the King who offers forgiveness, life and relationship with God, the one who is the source of all life and goodness. So this Easter, follow his advice and believe. Perhaps you're here this afternoon and you don't yet believe and follow Jesus. Can I encourage you to find out more? This day that happened many years ago, this day of the empty tomb, is a real historical fact. And it changes all life for everybody. And so we need to engage with the fact that this happened. So can I encourage you to investigate? This Jesus really rose from the dead. And this historical fact means that human history is forever changed. You need to investigate the risen Jesus. There's a few options for you. You can talk with those who you know here at church. Or you could, a few things I'll tell you about a bit later, a bit more detail, but you could read a biography for yourself. You could commit to a 6-week course where you can come and ask some questions, find out a bit more. If you want to think just a bit more about the resurrection, there's a short article in the foyer, which you're also welcome to, 3 reasons to believe in the resurrection. Perhaps you do believe, but you don't yet have a church family. If you've been encouraged this afternoon by what we hear, this is just what we do every week here at St. Mark's. Look at God's word and see what it says to us. Jesus has given us the gift of one another, and so it is a privilege to be able to meet together. We can go and live, we can live better for Jesus together than on our own. So if you don't yet have a church family, we'd love to have you here with us at St. Mark's each Sunday and live out this whole Christianity thing together. If you already trust Jesus, then this reminder of the empty tomb should give us comfort and assurance. We can be sure that we have the precious privilege of calling God Father because of the historical fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. And like Mary, we get to share this wonderful news with others as well. Let's pray, thanking God for the empty tomb. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to die and raised him from the dead in power so that we can be forgiven and call you Father. Thank you that we can have true confidence in this because of the historical fact of Jesus' resurrection. thank you for providing the historical accounts of it for us in the Bible. For those who are trying to work out what this means, please help them see who Jesus is and provide the answers for the questions they have. And for those of us who already believe in Jesus, please comfort and assure us of these things and give us opportunity to share this wonderful news with others. Amen.